What is up, guys? Welcome back to episode 2 of season 2 of Bump Time with Matt and Tom. Today we're doing another album review style episode, and this week we're going to be talking about the newest big album that dropped, which is Baby Keem's The Melodic Blue. This is technically his debut album. I believe he did reference it as that. However, he does have two full-length projects before this one, so this is technically his third album. And it's pretty clear that if you've listened to the other two before this one, that he's really growing his sound into something pretty unique. I thought it was very different from the other two. It's stylistically very, very different, and I personally think it was amazing. That's just kind of my first thought that I wanted to kind of say about this album. Matt, do you have any ideas on it?
Get started? So this is my first project that I've heard from Baby Keem. The only thing I knew was that it was his debut album. I didn't know he had two other full-length projects. But for my first whole project, listening to Baby Keem, I was very impressed. I'm not a huge fan of Baby Keem, but I was very surprised with this album. I did like it a lot. And there was a bunch of songs throughout the album that I liked, and there was a couple songs that I just thought were really bad, but there was a lot more good than bad in total, so I was very happy with the album. I hope he drops more in the near future, and I hope he does a lot more work with his cousin Kendrick Lamar, because that would be awesome.
So I feel like I became a fan of Baby Keem in 2019 when he dropped Die For My Bitch, which was his second album. That album had like the two songs I really like started to love by him, which were Orange Soda and Bus Her Up. Those are, you know, two of my favorite Baby Keem songs. They still are, honestly, but that's what really kind of got me into Baby Keem. And then when he dropped Do-Rag Activity, which is actually on this album, he dropped that a couple months ago with Travis Scott. It kind of put him on the map for me. I kind of realized he's kind of a big deal. And you know, I should start taking his music a little more seriously, which I definitely did by that point. You know, I think he's one of the better artists of this generation. I think he has a lot of potential. He was just recently featured on Kanye West's Donda album. To a lot of people's surprise, he was actually featured on the same song as Travis Scott called Praise God, which was the sixth song off Donda. I personally think he has an amazing role in that song. He serves his part. Matt, I think, would disagree with me on that one.
I like his rapping ability. I say it a lot throughout, especially when we go through the track list. I love Baby Keem's rapping ability, but as soon as he makes a slight of baby voice where he tries to sound like Playboi Carti, I think it's really bad. The only one that could do the baby voice good is Playboi Carti and Young Thug. Those are the only two artists that I think are able to do it and do it successfully. But Baby Keem's rapping abilities and lyrics are very top-notch, and I'm a big fan of Baby Keem, especially after this album.
Yeah, I do like the baby voice from both Cardi and Young Thug, but I personally love it from Baby Keem. I thought his use of it on Donda was really cool, and especially on this album, I thought it was really cool as well. However, he didn't utilize it as much on this album. It was much more rapping and kind of like hard bars kind of going in, rapping on beat, which I was a big fan of as well. And I think he does that a lot better, you know, on this album. So should we get into our top five for this? Mm-hmm. Okay, so my personal top five, I had Range Brothers at number five, Coco featuring Don Toliver at number four, 16 at number three, I had Family Ties at number two. That one's featuring Kendrick Lamar. And then Scars at number one. I think if I was to give some honorable mentions, I would definitely mention Trademark USA and Vent and probably First Order of Business as kind of outliers of the top five, because those songs were really good too. I think Vent and Range Brothers for me are interchangeable for the fifth spot. Both are featuring Kendrick Lamar, and I think both songs are really good, but I think Kendrick's rapping ability is much better on Range Brothers rather than Vent, because he doesn't have that much of a big part in it on Vent. So those are my top five.
So yeah, my top five, I'm starting off same with Tom at with Range Brothers featuring Kendrick Lamar. The production and switch up between the two artists is versed are insane, mm-hmm. especially when Kendrick comes on, because the song sounds like it's about to end, and then out of nowhere Kendrick Lamar just comes spitting straight fire.
Yep.
So I thought that was really, really cool and really unique. Number four for me is Scars, another great production on this track. It reminded me of a song that could be off of Donda, and the production just sounded like Kanye made it.
It does sample a Kanye song.
It does?
From 808s and Heartbreak. Well, you know the song Love Lockdown? Yeah, it's Kanye's album from 2008. It's his fourth studio album, and the song Love Lockdown has those same exact drums, but I like Baby Keem's use of it better. But sorry, continue with your top five.
Number three, Scapegoats. Kind of an interlude, but it was a little love song. And yeah. I enjoyed it. Number two is Issues. It reminded me of a song X would make. And
that's true.
A lot of people that are very close to me know I was a big fan of X. X had a huge impact through his music on my life. So I was a big fan. And then my number one song off this album is actually the last track, number 16, which is also called 16. And it's just a spot on outro. His voice is beautiful on this. I didn't know he could sing as well as he did on this track. And the beat is really fun. It's fire. And it's really, the message of it is awesome. So those are my top five. And I was a huge fan of the album for not really enjoying Baby Keem's other music beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
I gave this album an 82 out of 100. The only problem I have with it is the songs I didn't like at all. I really didn't like. Like, I would never go back to them. So that was why it was kind of in the low 80s. If the songs I didn't really like were a little more higher rating, and I'll rate the, when we do the track list, I'll give you my rating of each single.
Yep.
But for the whole project and the meaning of Melodic Blue by Baby Keem, I gave it an 82 out of 100.
So personally for me, I gave this one a 93. I don't quite think it is at the caliber of what Kanye's dropped, at least I'm thinking for this year. You know, because we didn't actually get to do an episode on Tyler, the Creator's album, Call Me If You Get Lost, but I gave that, in my mind, a 90. So I do think the Melodic Blue edges out Call Me If You Get Lost. That was actually at my second spot, but it gets bumped down to third now because I think Baby Keem is the second best album of the year so far. Kanye, obviously, is the first. I gave Kanye a 100, I think, last week on Donda, which I still think holds true. I mean, probably one of my favorite albums of all time, to be honest. But and you know, we do have Lil Nas X next week, and we also have Playboi Carti kind of looming in the air. We don't know a date, but
which I'm surprisingly excited for.
I'm super excited for Carti, super excited for Lil Nas X, and I think those are two projects that could definitely dethrone this one for my number two spot. Or maybe even number one, you know, who knows, at this point, I guess. So, so those were our top five and kind of where we ranked them. So should we get into the track list?
Yeah, I say we get into the track list. So the first track off of the Melodic Blue by Baby Keem is a song called Trademark USA. And the song, right off the bat, uses a lot of different beats, a couple samples. And Baby Keem throughout the song changes up the style of the song, and he uses all three of his voices that he used, his baby voice, his singing voice, and his rap voice. And I thought that was very cool, especially as an intro song. Kind of reminded me of what Drake did with his intro song on CLB.
Yep.
So I thought it was just him showing off his raw talent right off the bat on his debut project, mm-hmm. showing how much he's grown. And out of 10, I gave this intro song a 9 out of 10. The only thing I would have liked more, obviously, with me is just him not to use his baby voice, but I understood what he was doing with it and showing all of the skills and assets that he has in the music industry and putting it into a single intro song on his debut album. So I do respect that aspect of it, but I just really can't stand the baby voice, except for if it comes from Young Thug. That's really the only rapper I kind of like the baby voice from. But so yeah, great intro from Baby Keem.
I did think it was a really good intro as well. I would give this one probably like a flat 8 out of 10. But I should mention, 14 out of the 16 songs on this album are produced by Baby Keem himself, and he is only 20 years old, I believe. So for a pretty much 100% self-produced album at this age and have it at this kind of caliber that it's at, I think that's really impressive already. So, you know, there's definitely that. But Trademark USA, definitely a pretty solid opener for this album. It kind of starts with like a, almost like a ringing, like it sounds like your ears are ringing kind of, but then the drums kick in and it goes pretty crazy. So I thought that was a really cool way to start the album with some energy. Yeah, and I honestly didn't expect some, like, a lot of energy like that, because it's called The Melodic Blue, which sounds really like,
I thought it was gonna be a lot more tracks like 16 theoretic,
like
issues,
conceptual, yeah, like I thought that as well, but you know, Trademark USA was a pleasant surprise for sure.
And it was a majority of it was rap, but he did have a lot where he switched up in singles, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah,
or really just the whole album. Then track number two is called Pink Panties. I did not like this song at all. That's not true. I liked it when he was rapping. I liked it a lot. The chorus, when he did his deep voice in the song, I didn't like at all. It was a catchy hook, but it's just,
I don't think that's him. I think that's just a sample.
Right, it was a sample.
I don't really know for sure, but like I think it's a sample
as well.
I don't know.
So
maybe it's his voice.
Either way, I didn't like it, especially as it was in the song, I think like 4 or 5 times. So I was not a huge fan of it.
Yeah.
I give him props though for trying to switch it up.
Yeah.
I gave the track 7 out of 10, so obviously not bad, but his rapping ability on the song is really good.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just not for me.
Yeah, I mean, I do find this one getting stuck in my head a lot. As catchy as it is, it's not one I like really revisit that often. It's not by any means like a highlight on the album. But it's still a good song, I think. I would give it like a 7.5 out of 10. It's just super catchy, honestly. I think that was kind of the highlight of it for me. I did like the sample, actually, and how the drums were more, it almost sounded like a, like an islandy type of song. I don't really know how to explain it, but the drums didn't sound as like, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't really know. The word I'm looking for is normal. It kind of like a trap, you know, kick, snare, clap, drum kind of line. And there wasn't really any of that in this song, which I thought was interesting, how he used kind of a different drum set. So I did find that really interesting. But we'll move on to the third track, which is Scapegoats. This one was a little more of a interlude, like you mentioned. It was short. It didn't really feature much rapping, but I think he did like speak on it, right?
Yeah, it was majority. It was a message.
Yeah, and it was the song that was featured on his trailer for this album. So it got a lot of people hyped up when they played it, because this was super out of Baby Keem's kind of comfort zone from the last two albums that he's put out himself. So definitely a big switch up. I think it's like an 8 out of 10. For me, I mean, it's not like a song I'll really listen to that much. It's just kind of an interlude that, you know, it does flow well with the flow of the album if you're listening to it front to back, but not when you really look to like listen to, I guess.
I loved it. The message, it's cool, but what it says is honestly beautiful. It's basically an interlude for his family and how his upcoming as a kid went.
Mm-hmm.
So that for it to be the third track and be an interlude, kind of like started off like what the rest of the album's kind of going to be about. And he mentions his family a lot in the album. And when rappers do that, or when artists do that, I'm a huge fan of it. So this is actually my number 3 track. I think I'll be listening to this a lot. I do listen to interludes a lot, so that probably definitely helps. And this interlude even had a beat behind it, so it made it a little more catchy, a little more like memorable.
Yep.
So I gave it a 10 out of 10. I thought it was like a perfect interlude, perfect time on it. The only other thing I could say, like bad thing, is you could have bumped it down a couple spots, but it fits in perfectly with the next like 5-8 songs. Mm-hmm. So it is a good spot for it.
Yep. And directly following that song is Range Brothers featuring Kendrick Lamar. Now I do think this one is a 10. This is the one unreleased non-leaked Baby Keem and Kendrick Lamar collaboration, because Family Ties eventually came out on streaming as a single, and Vent got leaked long before this album even came out. So this is the first Kendrick Lamar collaboration on the album, and it is literally them just having a blast in the studio and just cracking up at the common themes of the rap industry. And I honestly thought it was hilarious, honestly. Because, like, in Family Ties as the single, we heard Kendrick Lamar kind of do that cowboy accent thing in his verse. And I think they really capitalized on that cowboy energy on this song. It was basically like them making fun of the common themes of rap, like rapping about like a watch on your wrist, like big necklaces, you know, the common things that people love to rap about, and like getting girls and stuff. So it was kind of them making a mockery of that while also having a blast in the studio. And we don't see Kendrick Lamar make much of like stuff like this where it's kind of a mockery or something that's just kind of fun to listen to. He usually goes really deep and you know, critically thinks and kind of raises questions in his albums. And you know, like his To Pimp a Butterfly, Good Kid, Mad City, it's all about upbringing, racial injustice, very important topics that need to be solved in today's, you know, society. But in Range Brothers, he kind of throws that persona out of the window, and I love how it is executed, because it's just fun, and it kind of has blown up on TikTok a lot, where with the trend, like top of the morning, top of the, you know, like awesome. It's awesome, it's so funny. So you know, definitely a highlight on the album. I'd say it's a 10 out of 10.
Yeah. It came in at my number 5 spot, like we said earlier. Same. When we were ranking, so obviously me and Tom had a little bit of a different top 5, but our number 5 is the same.
Range Brothers. And yes, sir.
Between Range Brothers and Family Ties, I like this song more, just because of Kendrick's rapping flow on this one. Mm-hmm. Was a lot better on than Family Ties, but the meaning on both are just insane. But we'll get to Family Ties. But
yep.
So on Range Brothers, the production, like I said earlier, was spot on. The difference, and then the ending, and then it doesn't end. It's just so cool. Mm-hmm. Baby Keem did his baby voice for a little bit, but it was only 2 bars, and I was happy that it was so short. And it was also in the beginning, so I just had to suck it up for 20 seconds. But his rapping on this track was just insane. Kendrick Lamar does what he always does as a legend and just kills everything that he raps. It's just insane. Yeah. His ability to rap is just crazy.
One of the best.
It is, by far. I just wish he dropped a whole lot more instead of taking such a long break.
Mm-hmm.
But he'll be back soon. He's now wants to be called Omega, so I guess that's his new style. I think that's just going to be the name of his album. That's why. But I could be wrong.
Yeah, Family Ties was his first verse in 4 years.
Yeah,
since his album Damn. He doesn't do many features.
He doesn't really like to be featured. So, but also, it's his cousin.
So like, Baby Keem's his cousin. So I'm sure it was kind of on a favor type of basis, but also the fact that they are blood related and probably really good friends as well.
Yeah.
So I'm sure it wasn't much of an obligation at all for him to hop on the record 3 times.
So you know? Range Brothers, the production built into both their parts was straight. It's just straight fire. It was truly amazing. Yep. Baby Keem and Kendrick do amazing together. Obviously, they have the chemistry because they're blood related as cousins. But the age gap is crazy, though. How old's Kendrick?
I think he's in his 30s now. 30
something.
Baby Keem's so only 20, yeah. I think. So
it's a crazy age difference. But it's crazy how much they do well together, and they sound very alike.
And Kendrick's,
you could tell,
yeah,
you could tell the age difference just by their lyrics and how they use everything around it, and the tone, the beats, just everything is just perfect by Kendrick, and it's being perfected by Baby Keem. But he's so young that he'll get there eventually.
And I think it's good that he kind of has Kendrick Lamar as a mentor, obviously, because, you know, it'll only help him out in the rap game. So
easily
kind of navigate the troubles of that. But
so I gave this track a 10 out of 10.
Yep, same. So moving on, we have Issues. Like Matt said, this song was much more of a slower,
very sad
XXXTentacion type of song. You know, it definitely does sound like something X would have made. I definitely see that comparison. It was a lot more heartfelt and definitely more introspective than the last four songs on the album. And, you know, I did think it was like a 9 out of 10. Not in my top five, but it is definitely one of the more closer to an honorable mention for me, because I did think it was really skillful that he kind of sang on it as well.
He switched it up so quickly.
As well as just rapping. Yeah. He
switched it up so quickly.
Yep.
I thought that was very cool. This is one of my, this is number two out of my five. So I absolutely love this track. X meant a lot to me. Even when he passed, I listened to his music for so long. I was going through a hard time with football and just like injuries and stuff. So X kind of just like through his music, especially with the album 17, told me that kind of just like sad shit and bad shit's going to happen in your life. You just got to keep going through it.
Mm-hmm.
So got over my injury, got back on the field after a long month of dealing with a concussion. Balled out, so I was chilling. Thankfully, X's music got me through that. But I really, from Baby Keem, I wasn't expecting this sad of a song, because I've never heard Baby Keem sing this beautifully on the track before. The production is great. The story is insane. He just absolutely killed it, and it's such a sad story. And I'm so happy that he had a beautiful voice to back it up with, because if he rapped this, I don't think it would have been as meaningful. Instead of him singing it on a slow beat and how he portrayed it, because at a point I low-key thought it was a sample from X. Like, there was a part where I actually thought
I wouldn't believe
X.
It
and I was like, holy shit,
that would definitely
but
be cool.
I absolutely love the song. I'll be bumping it like crazy, that's for sure. So 10 out of 10 in my book.
Absolutely. And I gave that one a 9. So after Issues, we have Gorgeous, which is it's more melodic than it's more of melodic rap than I would say Issues, but it's a different style from something like Trademark USA or Range Brothers. So that one was pretty good, but it's honestly not as memorable as I would hope. I think it would be like an 8 out of 10. But it is more introspective in the way that he is kind of looking into what he has to still accomplish in the rap game. I think he says, like, he's going toe-to-toe-to-toe with the whole industry. I think I'm remembering that correctly. But it's kind of showing what he has to get through in order to get to a level of stardom that he wants to achieve. So I thought that was pretty cool. The lyrics are a lot more meaningful in this song, for sure. So, you know, that was Gorgeous. I think that one was about an 8 out of 10 for me.
I like the song was all right. I didn't add it to a playlist just technically because I'm not a huge fan when rappers write out a beat, and he did write out a beat a good amount in this song. But the idea of the song is perfect, and the message is perfect for Baby Keem. He also, half of the song is what he needs to do to be successful, and then half of it is a song saying it's really just about his girlfriend, the other half of the song.
Yeah.
So it was kind of cool, the idea of meshing them together. I just wasn't a huge fan of how he wrote it. Like, do you like when rappers write out a beat?
Yeah.
I'm not a huge fan of it. And he did it with his deep voice. I think if he did that with his, honestly, with his baby voice, it would have been better, because it reminded me of a song like what Playboi Carti would do. But I really wasn't a huge fan of the song. I gave it a 6 out of 10. I probably won't be listening to it that
That's
much.
Fair. So that was Gorgeous. Next up, we have South Africa. I actually didn't really like understand the meaning of why he chose the name South Africa and why he mentioned it in the song. So I did look it up on Genius. The annotation for the line, like, catch a flight to South Africa, like, it's just kind of showing how he's spontaneous and sometimes just wants to, you know, do things now that he has this newfound stardom and fame. He can kind of do spontaneous things he would not normally be able to do, like, for example, catching a flight to South Africa or something like that. So credit to Genius for that. That's not my original thought at all. So I just wanted to credit that Genius annotation for this one, because I was a little unsure of it at first. But that one was a pretty good song. It was also pretty catchy, and definitely one I will be going back to. I think it's like an 8.5 out of 10. It was, in my opinion, better than Gorgeous, but I don't think it's as good as some of the ones that are coming up towards the latter half of the album, which I thought was much more memorable.
I hated South Africa. I didn't like it at all. The hook got annoying. They said the hook about 8 times.
They did say it a lot, to be fair.
Like, holy shit. This song could have been broken down in half, and it would have been better, in my opinion. It's just kind of like, I feel like there wasn't a whole lot to the song.
That's fair. I understand that.
I don't really enjoy it. And even with that meaning that Genius put out, it doesn't make me change anything. Right. The meaning's not there, and the lyrics weren't good, and just the hook is just like the hook's good for like 3 or 4 times in a song. If you double that amount, it's not good, in my opinion. So I gave this track a 3 out of 10.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I didn't like it at all.
That's fine. Yeah, I understand why. It's really not for everyone, but I personally don't think there's a song below like a 5 or 6 on this album. I don't know. But after South Africa is Lost Souls, another one that's a little slower. It's a little more melodic. I guess you would describe it that way.
Mm-hmm.
This kind of reminded me of Gorgeous and Issues, in a way. I did like it, actually. I thought it was a pretty good one for slowing down the pace a little bit. I would give it also an 8.5 out of 10, just because it isn't necessarily near my top 5, but it's definitely one that is worth going back to for sure.
I love Lost Souls. I gave it a 10 out of 10. I was a huge fan of it. The meaning of the song is amazing. Mm-hmm. It's great for Baby Keem to make a track like this and just show love towards the people that has helped him.
Yep.
And like get through his career. But at the same time, he's lost so many people, and not like them like dying and passing away, just that him losing them to either drugs or just losing them and not being a part of his life anymore,
mm-hmm.
Where they used to be. And it just shows how big of a heart Baby Keem kind of has and doesn't take family and friends for granted. And he always like has a part in them. So that's why I got out of Lost Souls. I was a huge fan. This was my number 6 track. If we did,
nice.
We did like a track list in order of like,
yeah,
my favorite to bottom, this would be number 6.
Gotcha.
The next track, honestly, was very close to that. I was a big fan of the next track. So, yeah, that's Lost Souls, though. 10 out of 10 for me.
So before we get into this second half of the album, we're just going to cut this here because we are almost at our time limit. But for that first part of the album, I think it was a lot more of, I keep using this word, introspective. It's kind of him looking into, you know, what he's already done and is kind of reflecting on his career up to this point. And then I think the second half of the album gets a lot more braggadocious. Yeah, very, very into his future, what he's looking forward to doing. So
I agree with that.
That's kind of what I got from this.
And I like the 16. I like the 16 song.
So we're going to cut it
instead
here, and then
it being 20 plus,
yeah.
I don't like when rappers do that.
Yeah, I agree, absolutely. So for the second part of this episode, we're gonna start talking about, we're gonna start with Coco, which is his new song with Don Toliver. As you guys may know, Don Toliver has been having himself quite the 2021. We have talked about Don Toliver so many times on this podcast. I think we did this summer with Drugs and Hella Melodies, which was his new single for his forthcoming album, The Life of a Don, right?
I think we did 3 of his singles that have come out.
Yeah, I think we actually touched on all of them. So, you know, we've been following Don for a long time, and especially last week, you know, we talked about Moon, which is Kanye's, off of Kanye's Donda. That's also featuring Don Toliver. I think that's his probably his best performance of all time. So, you know, he's having quite the year in my eyes, at least. And Coco is my second favorite feature of his of all time, because the energy is ridiculous. I mean, they just come out right away with the fire, and it's so exciting to listen to them kind of trading bars and, you know, riding this beat, basically. I loved the song. It was definitely, I think I put it 4th in my top 5. So definitely one of the better I don't know, running, gym type of energy songs to listen to.
I love Coco, especially because Baby Keem let Don Toliver have the majority of the song,
yep,
which I was a huge fan of. I know it's Baby Keem's track, but Don Toliver killed his feature. I didn't know he can rap like this. I know he can sing. I didn't know he can rap this well.
Yeah.
And that just showed how diverse and unique Don Toliver really is, because I've never heard him rap this fast ever. And I've followed Don Toliver for a good amount of time now, especially this year. I've kind of grew and learned to love Don Toliver, especially through all of his music, even from the beginning. He's a great producer, and I would like to see more, a little bit more producing from him again. His production was always very good. I honestly think this will be a certified hit. I don't know if it'll go gold or platinum, but it'll definitely go one of them.
Something. Yeah, hopefully.
And I hope I get a lot more rapping from Don Toliver, especially on his new album, Life of a Don. Whenever that drops, it's been hinted for a long time. When that drops, I hope there's a lot of back and forth between him singing and rapping and doing a whole bunch of stuff, because I think that album could be close to perfect
if he does all that. He's a super skilled rapper. I definitely agree.
The whistling at the end of this track is really catchy.
Yes, absolutely.
I've kind of grown my ears, I guess, to like, I guess, the instruments in the background. It definitely helps that Tommy is a big fan of that. So I'm listening to a lot of tracks that he likes and that has that.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of just get used to it and start kind of just like enjoying some of those weird sounds that are in the background. So I thought that was a really cool touch, especially at the end. But he just made it seem so easy. His voice is so easy. Like, it goes so smoothly and just so calm. And I'm like happy Baby Keem let Don Toliver steal a spotlight kind of in this track. But at the same time, Baby Keem, when he did his part, it was also very good. So I gave this track actually a 10 out of 10 as well.
Yep. So I obviously gave it a 10 as well. I don't think I mentioned that, but after that, we have the second part of this amazing four-track run, in my opinion, which is Family Ties. This has pretty much been Baby Keem's biggest single ever. I think it debuted on the top 10 Billboard chart as well. I don't remember exactly where it did, but it got so much TikTok success. Surprisingly, I don't even think that was his intention, but people kind of made a trend out of the Kendrick verse and whatnot. So definitely an impressive thing there. I don't think he even meant to do that on Family Ties. There was also a dance to it. There's two separate TikTok trends, the Kendrick verse and then the dance, which is like the fist pumping thing that he does in the music video, which was super funny as well. Again, not him really doing it on purpose, but, you know, something funny to happen to it anyway.
Yeah, that is
true. And the song is amazing. It's number two for me on the album, aside from Scars, but which is actually the next song we're going to talk about. But, you know, Kendrick absolutely did his thing on the beat switch, especially. And Baby Keem on the first beat with, like, the horns, the trumpets, the kind of brass ensemble, I guess it is. He bodied it. And then when he passes it off to Kendrick and they start trading flows again and again, it makes it so near perfect. It's just such an addicting song to listen to. And I just love listening to it. I've been listening to it pretty much every day since it dropped now. So I really can't get enough of it.
I agree, especially when you said the four-track run. I actually have it as a five-track run because I'm including the eighth track from the first half of the album, Lost Souls.
That's fair.
I thought from Lost Souls to We'll Get to Durag Activity, those five in a row were perfect, good, hard middle of the album, and they were all hits. But back to Family Ties, track 10 with Kendrick Lamar. This was the single that dropped. Another hit for both of them. Kendrick's first feature or verse in 4 years, and it was spot on. It's like he never left. He's just a great rapper, a great artist. He'll go down easily as a legend. Me and Thomas said that multiple times, and it's definitely going to go platinum, I think. I think both of the singles, Range Brothers and Family Ties, will go platinum.
Absolutely.
They're both very similar but yet different songs, and more of just how crazy they both go on both tracks. So for me, I've always been a huge Kendrick fan, so I'll bump whatever says Kendrick Lamar on it. But Baby Keem killed his part on both tracks too, so I was very happy with both songs. 10 out of 10.
So after Family Ties, we have Scars, my personal favorite song off this album. It samples Kanye's Love Lockdown drums from his album 808s and Heartbreak back in 2008. I saw on Twitter, can't remember the account, but I remember someone described the beat as like galloping horses or something, and I thought that was the perfect way to describe how the drums come in. It makes it very gallopy. Actually, I think it was Anthony Fantano in his review of this album. When he was reviewing it, he called the drums very gallopy, which I thought was a really, really interesting and perfect way to describe this song. And it's super, super meaningful, where he's kind of talking about, you know, like the scars he has and how life is very, very difficult around him. And he has to kind of overcome these scars, quote unquote. So this was easily my favorite off this album, just even from a production standpoint. If you took away all lyrics, I think this one would still be number one, just because of how triumphant yet ironically sad it is. And it was super interesting to me how he did that. So Scars, 10 out of 10, number one.
So this is number four on the whole track list. Like I said before, so I'm agreeing with Tom on this, on how well it did. And I didn't know about the sample from 808 and Heartbreaks, but I literally said to Tom, like, one of them sounds right off of Donda.
Yeah, and I guessed it was
this one. I was like, this sounds like Kanye's kind of production. And that was kind of crazy.
Little did you know it was.
I listened to two albums that I actually enjoy by Kanye. I kind of pick up what he likes to do with production. Exactly. And it's very good. I can guarantee you that his production has always been very good. It was more just if I liked his voice. Mm-hmm. Now back to Baby Keem Scars. The production, once again, is crazy. The meaning is so sad on this track. So, so sad. But it's more of like what kind of Kanye did on Donda is what I took. It's sad music, but it's uplifting and motivational. Yep. Which I thought was kind of on both Donda and the Melodic Blue, very good kind of way to make a sad song with an uplifting beat. Mm-hmm. So it was a very good, very good song. And honestly, it's a sad song, but it could low-key be a gym song. Because it makes you want to do stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
It makes you want to, like, you got two plates while you're benching. You want to put on another one. Like,
yeah,
it's something
exactly.
Like that. Like, it's weird how it works, but it's something like that. His rapping melodic style on this track was insane.
Yep.
Another crazy track for him. 10 out of 10.
I'm glad we agree on that one, because that one was absolutely my favorite, no question, when I first listened to this. But then next up, we have Durag Activity featuring Travis Scott. This is the very first promotional single he dropped for this album way back in, I think, honestly, 2020. I don't remember how far back it was. It might have been 2021. I have no idea. But when it first came out, I was super underwhelmed by this one. And when I listened to it, I am still a little bit underwhelmed, just because his energy doesn't seem to be there on a song where I would hope it's there. Because Travis Scott, it really, really fits Travis Scott's style and his voice and his sound. And I don't think it necessarily does fit Baby Keem's, ironically, because, you know, it's his song and he produced it as well, I believe. It's a little bit too low energy for me personally. I don't find myself going back to it that much, but with time it has definitely grown on me. So I would say when it first came out, I'd say it was like a 6, but now it's like a 7.5.
For me, right off the bat, the hook is okay. I thought Baby Keem just kind of was chilling and recorded it, kind of like gave me the vibes. But then as I continue listening to the songs, when Travis drops his ad-libs in the beginning, I was like, holy shit, he's about to go crazy. He absolutely did. He had a voice change where it was like his melodic rap deep voice for a little bit. And yeah, then he went to his like low-key, like a high-pitched rap voice. And I was very impressed, because it's not like high-pitched. For Travis, it's high-pitched.
Not yet.
I know what you mean. It's not like the baby shit. But I thought it was really cool. I've never really heard it from Travis, and I thought it was crazy. Mm-hmm. The Hook grew on me as the song went. I wasn't a huge fan of it because it just seems like he's just chilling. And I thought Baby Keem could have done a lot better. And he did a lot better, especially at the end of the song where he started rapping and kind of stole the spotlight, or tried to steal the spotlight back from Travis, but he couldn't do that. But I do like the song. I gave it a 9 out of 10. I just wish Baby Keem in the beginning did a little bit more than just kind of say the hook and then let Travis take over. But it really wasn't a bad idea. But I gave it a 9 out of 10.
So after Durag Activity, we have Boo Man, which is, in my opinion, the worst song off this album. It's like a
terrible.
It's just so it's hard to listen to, honestly. I think actually I'd give this one like a 5. I mean, it's not that bad because it's surrounded by a lot of really good songs, and it doesn't sound very far from something that would be on this album, but it's just not very good. I really don't know how else to explain it. Like, it sounds a little bit uninspired, kind of like Durag Activity, but at least Durag Activity had a good beat and a great feature to kind of do that. So, yeah, Boo Man, 5 out of 10, man. I wasn't impressed by this one.
The song sucked. The song was so bad. In nicer ways, I did not like Boo Man, track 13. The instruments are cool in the background. The lyrics are straight garbage. There's no meaning towards the song. And there just wasn't a whole lot, even if the lyrics were there. I mean, if the lyrics were there, then the meaning would be there in a way. But there was just nothing to the song. I thought like Boo Man could have just been left out and it would have flowed better with the rest of the album. Because the next three songs, in my opinion, are great.
Yep.
But Boo Man is not it.
Nothing special.
I gave it a 2 out of 10 because I couldn't obviously put it higher than South Africa, which I put 3 out of 10. So I had to do 2. Which I honestly think is a good rating for that, because it honestly should have stayed in the vault for Baby Keem, because it kind of just it doesn't fit the project either, so it made no sense to me.
So kind of coming off that dull patch of the last two songs, in my opinion, it was kind of dull, with Durag Activity and Boo Man, we have three amazing closer songs. So we have... we'll talk about it now. First Order of Business, which is, I don't really know how to explain it, honestly. It's pretty melodic, I guess you'd say. It's not as hard as obviously the five track run before near the middle, where we had all those super energetic hard songs. But First Order of Business is a pretty good song. I did find it to be not as memorable, again, kind of like a few other songs like South Africa and some other ones. But, you know, it definitely wasn't the worst thing I heard on this album. And I wouldn't really mind going back to it. I think it had a music video as well. I haven't seen it yet. But, you know, it's kind of him talking about his first order of business and what he is really looking forward to doing. Like, kind of, I think he says, like, shaking off the toxic people and whatnot. So, you know, definitely a pretty good song. I'd give it a flat 8 out of 10.
I agree. I also gave it an 8 out of 10. I did really like the meaning of the song. Huge meaning behind it. It was a creative idea of what he did. So basically, he kind of listed out his whole plan of what he wants to do in his life for in his eyes, a successful music career. And the way he like put it out in order was pretty creative, because it was like first and then second, or maybe he said next and then third, and then he added like a finally. So it was just kind of like an order of what he wants to do. And he added a lot of stuff involving his family. So I thought that was really cool, especially with him being 20. And this is like the level of like artistry we're getting from him is kind of insane, because he's grown up very quickly. I know it does help when Kendrick Lamar is your cousin, because if you're like a little punk in the industry and you're related to Kendrick Lamar, a legend, it's not going to look good for you.
Exactly.
And it's not going to look good for Kendrick. So it's definitely insane how much he's grown up, especially as a 20-year-old, and what is just,
he's mature.
He's very mature, that's for sure. So 8 out of 10 first order of business. I thought there could have been a little bit more to it, but the meaning is very, very creative, and the way you put it was creative.
My thoughts exactly. So the last two songs we have are Vent and 16. We will talk about Vent first, which is track 15 off the album. Now this one, I would, now that I'm thinking about it, I kind of want it to be the tie for fifth with Range Brothers, just because I'm like replaying it in my mind now. It is such an energetic song. It's unreal. And you know, I just love like good energy and a great beat on a song. Obviously meaning is good too, but,
it's not your priority.
It's not my priority at all. And this one is just, it's Kendrick. I guess he's kind of having fun with it again. You know, his hook is ridiculous. It's like, have you ever been punched in your face? All right, wait. Like, it's kind of like super in your face, super loud, super boisterous. And I just loved how the bass dropped and Baby Keem just starts going in. His rapping ability, his flow was just nuts on this song. And it was definitely one of my personal favorites off this album. Top 5 or 6 for sure. The first time I heard this was a couple weeks ago. I actually saw a leak of it on Twitter. Or not a leak. He actually performed it at a show with Kendrick, I think. And it hadn't come out yet, but a lot of people already knew the lyrics to it because they did hear the leak. And he was like, oh, like, how'd you guys know that song? It was funny. But I'm so glad he included it on this album with Kendrick, because Kendrick isn't listed as a feature. So I'm super content with this one. 10 out of 10.
Baby Keem Loki went crazy on this one. I didn't know he could spit like he did. It was like, it makes me want him to make a song like Favio.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if he raps something like crazy. This on something like that, that would be crazy. This reminds me of like a song that could be on Fast and Furious or like Crude, any like boxing, like Rocky, like this song reminds me like it could be on that shit.
Yeah, it's like pump up montage music.
Yeah, literally. So like while like it's like an animation of Rocky beating the crap out of some guy, and it's just like this is in the background while it's like going from punch to punch. I thought it would be crazy. That's like the first thing that came to my mind when I was listening to this track.
Super aggressive for sure.
Yeah, and so basically it's just like him venting, hence the name of the of like all the problems that has been through his life and just like spewing it out.
Yeah.
With hard bars.
And he's pissed.
Like, he's like punching it.
Like he feels angry on this song.
So it's kind of like he's taking his anger out on track, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's not like a heartbeat either. It's not like one of those drill beats. So I thought it was very cool.
It's just he just feels hungry on this one. Yeah. Like he's like really energetic. That was a
really good idea. It's a successful song.
Absolutely.
I gave it a 9 out of 10.
Yep. So I gave that one a 10 out of 10. And that brings us to our last song on the album, which is 16. Let me pull up my top five again, because I feel like I didn't include this in my top five. No, I put it at number 3. Okay, good. I'm glad I did, because I've was forgetting if I did or not. 16 is an unbelievably good song. Rightfully deserves its top 3 spot. It's a 10 out of 10 for sure. But what I have to say about it is it is the perfect embodiment of the melodic blue. It just feels like what that is supposed to mean. And I know I'm getting super like theoretical here, but it is so soulful, and it is so like it's just, it feels like you're digesting the song, honestly. Like the album cover is like the river when and he's sitting like on the rainbow dock, kind of. I don't know how to explain it, but this feels like what the album cover looks like, and it is the perfect embodiment of the entire album. It wraps up the whole album so nicely, and it's in the perfect spot as the outro, because it just feels exactly where it is supposed to be. You know, it does exactly what it's supposed to do, and it just feels super flowy. It feels like you're on a dock and like surrounded by water. I don't know.
It feels like you're chilling in the middle of the summer.
It's such a summer song, absolutely.
At night, and just kind of like watching the sunset and just listening to a great song.
It's such a vibe.
Just vibing out.
And it sounds like he was vibing too when he was making it. Like he's kind of like half in his bag, but half like just like enjoying himself, which I thought was a like it almost made it like the perfect song. I do think that Family Ties and Scars edge it out because those are amazing, but this one's amazing too.
This is my perfect song on the album. This is my number one song off the whole 16 tracks. And what's crazy is like, you don't usually think like the later song, like the last couple songs are going to be the best songs. And for me, the very last track, the outro track, was the best song in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Not by a lot, but definitely the whole idea. And when I heard the album dropping and being called the Melodic Blue, this is what I thought of it.
Yep.
This is this whole song, this whole track. After I finished the whole album, I was like, that whole track made sense to the rest of the album.
Yeah.
It fulfilled the album. And I was very happy, very satisfied, and it made me a Baby Keem fan. I wasn't a fan until this album.
It was the huge selling point for the whole album. That final thing is what truly encapsulated everything. And it made it, I feel like it turned people into fans for sure.
Well, the thing that helped me the most is, you know how much I love when rappers are able to sing.
Yeah.
And his voice,
and that was an impressive showing.
So beautiful on this track. And it was beautiful on Issues, Gorgeous, Lost Souls, Scars. Like, it was just beautiful from top to bottom throughout all the tracks, and adding rapping abilities throughout the whole album as well. And I was very happy that he never did any really baby voice for a whole song.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yeah, the one track, Blue Man, which me and Tom both agree was straight trash. But for him to finish the album with 16, it personally, I think it deserves to go platinum. I'm not sure if it will, just because of it's not going to be a track that's really going to be talked about, especially it being the last track on an album. But personally, if this track gets any commercial success, it will be... It could go diamond, in my opinion. That's how much I love this song. His voice was spot on. The lyrics were spot on. The beat is awesome. And I just think he saved the best track for last and mm-hmm. made the album a whole. Like, there was... He made you think that he worked on this album for 20 years, in my opinion. Like,
yeah.
That's how much creative went into it. And just him adding 16 as the outro track to just collectively finish it was amazing. The message, the production, the lyrics. I've like learned more of what Baby Keem will be. And it's just beautiful. And I was very happy to learn that was going to be more of a melodic album. And mm-hmm. I'm super sold on the album. It's low key making me want to boost my rating up, but the songs that I didn't like were so bad that I can't.
Yeah, there were some kind of low lows, but really, really high highs. And I think that, like, I'm honestly shocked because I didn't think this would compare anywhere near Donda, in my opinion. At least I'm thinking this year in terms of hip hop. It is a better album than J. Cole. It's a better album than Drake's album. And for me, it's at the number two spot. It is so good. And it's the perfect 93 for me. You know, there's definitely people who can thwart it this year. And obviously Kanye is above it in my eyes. But, you know, that's...
I would put this album from, like, anywhere from, like...
Is it in your top five?
4 to 7.
Of this year?
I don't know. I'm still, like... You know my number one album. No one's going to ever agree on me. It's Toosie's album.
Okay.
Top to bottom on both sides of it, the deluxe and the main. I thought the whole idea was great, and it wasn't even his album. Apparently, it was two mixtapes put together. It made sense as an album. The whole, like, way it was brought out to everyone, I don't know. I'm a huge fan of Toosie in general. He's been... If you follow him, he's always been through a lot, mm-hmm. and he got bullied as a kid because of the way he sounded, and he made it into his career because his voice is so unique. He's one of my favorite rappers right now, but that's also because he's a very Madelic rap love song guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone knows I love. But no, I do. Right now, number one, Toosie. Number two is Kanye, and number three is TJ.
That's all.
I've never really been a huge fan of Tyler Creator's album, so that's why it's really not like so much for me because it still like sounded like the other stuff.
Yeah.
But I understand why it's so big.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like 4 to 7 for me.
Nice.
I don't really know yet, but I do want to do at the end of the year is I like
really look back. Top 10. Yeah. I would love to do
and
that.
And then a list of our top 10.
That's going to be super entertaining really to do. Cool.
So Baby Keem, The Melodic Blue, a whole album. I personally, it made me a fan of Baby Keem.
Mm-hmm.
And it definitely helps that I'm going to probably hear a lot more about Baby Keem just because I'm a huge fan of Kendrick. And I think as soon as he drops, it will be my number one album.
I kind of feel that way as well. Because,
like, the only problem I have with it is I know it's going to drop either the first week of January for next year or the last week of December.
Yeah.
So it's going to be hard.
It'll be tough, but
unless it really is that amazing.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I'm very excited. So Baby Keem killed it, though. I'm not going to even lie. Baby Keem killed this album. And it's just, for me, a good 82 out of 100. I want to rank it higher, but the songs that were bad were really bad.
That's fair.
But there was a lot more highs than lows.
It's not without its flaws. I'll say that. It definitely does have a few flaws here and there. But overall, I thought it was a super well put together project for it just basically being him. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that is our review of The Melodic Blue by Baby Keem.
Peace.